Previously on Good Sex, Bad Sex.
I realized that my true calling was naked house cleaning. I thought, can I make money from this? Can I actually do this? And I mean, I basically followed in Oprah's footsteps and became an entrepreneur. Wow. I mean, I want to brag, but you know.
Not her exact footsteps.
So I decided, hey, let me see if I can do this. Yeah. And I just started putting ads up on this website and I started getting hits and it just took off from there.
Hello and welcome to Good Sex, Bad Sex. This is a podcast from metro.co.uk.
It's kind of like this summer's World Cup, but with less dribbling in the box.
My name's Miranda Kane and you can catch me riding Putney Bridge to Bushy on the London Underground any day of the week.
And I'm Bibi Lynch and yes, I've actually seen a couple making the sweet love on the tube.
You can check out our blogs at metro.co.uk. Good Sex, Bad Sex.
Coming up,
we're chatting to the author Kerry McKegney.
Hi, I'm Kerry. I'm the author of the erotic novel Tubing.
So, Bibi, do you read erotic thrillers?
What?
It's late at night.
Yeah.
It's dark.
Yeah.
It's a full moon.
Oh, what a lovely detail.
Isn't it lovely?
Yeah.
And you're cracking open a book. Do you get yourself out an erotic thriller?
I wouldn't read a hard copy erotic thriller. When I was a kid, we didn't have many books at home. We were that poor. No, we just, you know, my parents, you know. Anyway, but we had a book called The Six-Fingered Stud.
Oh my God.
And I remember when I was a child just kind of fingering that, if you don't mind. And then at school, we'd get books and we'd kind of pass them around on the
Judy Blume kind of
exactly
ones.
Exactly, on the saucy page.
Yeah.
So I am a fan. I think the written word can be sexy as hell.
Yeah.
But I'm more like to read it online. But I've started reading this book and it's fantastic. What about you? Are you a fan of the...
Yeah, I love a bit of literotica. I love I quite like reading. I find that helps... I get more mental images from that way. So it's quite good. And then I also like a good storyline, BB.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Just, I don't know. It's just, it keeps you interested. And I'm a bit tired of all these, like, you know, when you just have two people, they just fancy each other straight away. So I'm quite interested that this is an erotic thriller rather than just plain old sex.
Yeah.
But it's really good sex.
Ooh, let's find out.
Welcome to Good Sex, Bad Sex.
Thank you for having me.
A pleasure. Quickly tell us what the premise of your novel Tubing is.
So it's about an underground phenomenon called tubing, where people are setting up sexual liaisons on the tube and kind of doing it amongst the crowded carriages. That's the kind of premise of the novel, but it turns into a thriller. Very erotic start. And then
so
builds
like
up into a thriller.
On the underground.
That's where the name tubing came from. It is dogging on the underground.
Is it true? Is it real?
I don't think so. But the
both of us sat back there.
No, disappointed.
Well, the more people I talk to, if I ever mention it to anyone, they'll say, "Oh, my friend did that," or you know, "I know somebody who did that." So. I don't know if maybe I just accidentally came across something.
So what is tubing?
Yeah, so they're setting up meetings via Twitter.
Okay.
And
hashtag tubing?
It's hashtag tubing, but then it's whatever the tube station is. You know, it's part of the game. You kind of get on the carriage and you kind of know which carriage you're going on, but you don't really know what the person looks like. Okay. And you're just trying to... That's part of the game, trying to find them. And
they post a tweet saying, female searching for man.
Yes. And then they'll...
Tottenham Court Road.
Yeah, exactly. And then they'll say things like, wear a pink top. Or...
You've got a pink top.
On right now. How did you know?
I know everything.
Then they, you know, kind of find each other and then they, you know...
And they fuck on the tube.
Well...
Make sweet love.
Like...
Try not to be an animal.
Beyond my ken.
That's kind of the idea.
Is it on empty tubes or is it in the...
No. Well, you know, when they're actually having full sex, it's usually an empty tube. Mm. But the kind of the rubbing up and down and the...
Oh, we all know there's the blowjobs in front of other people. And because the other body... Because London is so bustling, the body's...
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the beauty of it. Because, you know, everybody is head height.
Yeah.
Whereas all this is going on at waist height. Yeah. So, if you know, if you're in a packed train and there are bodies all around you,
yeah,
you can't, unless you're looking directly down, you can't really see what's going on. So,
I so want this to be true. So I'm halfway through the book, absolutely loving it, like, absolutely loving it. Lots of breaks, Miranda, if you know what I mean. lots of appreciation. is this your first novel?
Yes. Yeah.
Why did you go for a sexy one? I know it's a thriller as well.
Because I really wanted to write a thriller, and I was on a tube train, and I thought I saw it happen. Yeah, and that's where the idea came from.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, Miranda.
I thought I was being subtle.
She pretends it's for a TFL ad, but it's not.
Right. it wasn't, basically. It was a couple, but from where I was kind of sitting, and I could see through the crowd, and I could see the guy kind of put his hand back, and he kind of ran off under her skirt, and I was just watching, and I just thought,
what if those were strangers?
What is going on?
A couple.
And she just didn't even react to it. She was just totally still, silent, face didn't change.
Yeah.
And so I just, my brain just started wandering, thinking.
I saw a couple doing it on a train at London Bridge.
Wow.
A stationary train actually having sex.
Really?
Yeah. You mean you watched and waited to see a couple do it?
I didn't know what to do with myself. I dropped my laptop earlier in the day, and to be honest, my thoughts were more on that. But then I did see, and then people were knocking on the door, and like were furious because they were.
What were they doing? What they
she
were actually
was on top of him,
boffing.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
On the chair.
Yeah.
God, it just seems impractical for me. Like it just seems
room for
not
one more
much
on top. If only it were a bus.
You get fined for everything on the tube these days. So to get away with that, it's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you find yourself doing research, like riding the Circle Line late at night? Or
no, but I did look on Google quite a lot, and there's a lot of porn.
Welcome to the world. It's called the internet.
Yeah.
Yes, there is quite a lot on there.
But on subways.
Oh, really?
Oh, so much, so much.
This is a genre.
Yeah, completely. And there's, you know, especially in Japan, and really busy trains.
Yeah.
You know, full on.
So you found
yourself cameras
watching
held down low.
Wow.
Yeah, filming it, yeah.
So you were watching a lot of porn on your sofa?
Yeah.
For research purposes, and then you just let your imagination...
Yeah, and then just kind of... For the first couple of scenes, it was quite easy. You just kind of let your mind wander and, you know... But then, because there are so many sex scenes at the start...
Yeah.
Then I need to do a bit of research.
Did you surprise yourself at how filthy you are?
Yeah, I really did. I am not the type of person that wrote this book. Honestly, I'm really not, and I'm a bit scared,
right,
about when people I know read it, because they're not actually going to believe that I wrote it.
Oh, why
I'm
not?
Because I'm just like single mom living in a nice village, taking my children to school.
Yeah,
I'm not the person that writes filthy novels.
No, but you dragged this out then. That was there.
Exactly. So I feel like I've got something out that needed to come out.
You said when we emailed a little bit about this that you found writing the book empowering.
Yeah.
What, in what way?
I suppose just because, A, it was the porn thing. Like, you know, I've never watched porn. Like, right. Honestly.
What?
I know. And then, so you kind of start researching this stuff and you suddenly, I don't know, it kind of, you just start to, I guess, realise there's a whole other world out there that you haven't really thought about.
So did you kind of start thinking that actually watching porn is okay for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. At first, when I was, you know, I think I come from a family where that kind of thing is, you know, Catholics.
No, you're... Oh, that is, yeah. I think being a Catholic and a woman definitely...
Absolutely, you don't watch porn.
Yeah.
So
you star in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit of Hessian.
it was quite empowering. And also, you know, just, you know, actually, you know, you do have these thoughts and you just kind of... I just put them down on paper.
Yeah.
And it was a great thing to do.
And I like it because I have been reading it and it's not just... sexy novel, like you said, it is a thriller, and what I get really tired of in a lot of books that have got a sexy female character, or you know, there's sex involved, is the female character is always very much an empty protagonist.
Yeah.
And there's always like, oh, she fell in love with a guy and she couldn't say why, and the guy fell in love with her and there was no reason for it.
Yeah.
But she's actually very complex, isn't she? She's got a whole background to her.
Mm-hmm.
And so where did that kind of come from and what made you go, do you know what, this isn't just going
to
be?
Yeah, I wanted to write an unlikable character. I didn't want her to be this beautiful heroine who falls in love with a guy on a train. I didn't want that. I wanted her to be quite empty.
Yeah.
And, you know, seemingly having everything she wants, but there's just something missing. And it's that looking for, you know, some kind of excitement, something to kind of, you know, fill her up a little bit. So to give her, you know, whatever you need in life to really spur you on, because, you know, she's just so flat. She's, you know, she has her issues with food and that's kind of been dealt with and it's kind of being controlled by her boyfriend to a certain extent. So she's lost that element. And, you know, it's you know, alcohol, cigarettes, you know, food, sex. Do you know what I mean? You're always, you know, looking for something. And I think the other thing about her as well is, like, she has this quite complex relationship with her mother. And a lot of that is to do with sex and her mother's thoughts on sex. I imagine her mother as an incredibly Catholic mother. And so she gets to, she's kind of been put in her place with that. And so by doing what she's doing, she gets to pretend that she's something complete and just be kind of maybe a little bit of what she wants to be. And just, and it's a game, isn't it? It's like you're pretending, you're going outside your life and...
So you're saying there's this woman who's a bit constrained with a Catholic mother. Yeah. She flies off into flights of fantasy about sex. Is there any...
I don't know what she could
do. I don't know. Is there any...
seriously, I have never done tubing.
Write about what you know.
Yes.
All I'm saying.
You said as well that you it made you look at sex differently.
Yeah. I just think, you know... The Catholic mother, the Catholic father. Well, actually, not a Catholic mother, Protestant mother, Catholic father. But it, you know, it's very kind of, I'm of that generation that's kind of quite restrained about sex. You know, my parents are from Ireland, so it's very, our attitudes to sex, but, you know, we're not very good. And I just think it actually just kind of freed me up quite a lot. It just kind of made me think, well, you know, there's nothing wrong with writing about sex. There's nothing wrong with talking about sex. And yeah, just... And the porn thing was, you know, before I'd be like, oh, porn's disgusting, you know, turn it off. Whereas actually you start to watch it and you kind of think, actually, this is quite interesting.
Yeah.
When you were writing the sex scenes, how do you keep it away from cliche?
Yeah, it's really hard not to do that. And often what would happen is I'd write a scene and it's full of cliches. And then you kind of pan back and you just get rid of them all. Yeah, when you're trying to think of words to use.
His hard member.
I know,
rocked
and it's.
And
you, but,
bits. See, I can't even do it.
But then you don't want to be too graphic. You don't want to be too biological.
Yeah.
Because then that's just not sexy at all.
What are you going to do if this actually becomes a phenomenon? If people copyright this and they start doing it?
Well, most reviews it has said, is this a thing? Yeah. Is this real? I like to think that I haven't started this. I like to think that it was already there and I just gave it a name.
I can't be blamed for nothing.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I want this to be the thing that I'm referring to. It's
my legacy. It's like Dice Man, you know?
Firm on the Northern Line floor.
Don't.
I was responsible for that. Not me. I don't have sperm. Not anymore.
Not since Cock Fosters.
Stop with it.
But there is there is quite a possibility. Like the Dice Man, people could read it and go, right, I'm going to start off and go on Twitter and use the hashtag tubing. And if anyone's by East Finchley, then meet you on Carriage 3. but do you think you'd sort of go and watch or like, would you be intrigued if like...
I don't know if I would.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a weird one because like I wrote it, but I'm not sure it would be my thing. It was more just I just loved the idea of you know creating the main character Sebastian and then just him in his all powerful way, kind of you know being her downfall. I really liked that. So it was, you know, it's almost like tubing's a little bit of a vehicle for the novel, really.
Let's talk about sex on the tube. If people were to read the book and go, I want to have sex on the tube, let's talk about where and when might that be possible.
First thing I'd probably say is it is probably definitely illegal. So I'm not sure.
Or do it with a policeman.
I'd want, I'm not sure I'd want to, you know.
Encourage it fully.
Yeah, exactly. But there's a lot of porn And it's happening on really busy trains. And there's another very strange thing that's going on the tube at the moment in London. And it's like, and it's on these porn sites. And it's basically where women are kind of wearing very short skirts and then kind of taking their knickers off in busy trains and then kind of sitting with their legs open to see if anyone notices.
Oh.
So it's kind of...
How do you know that?
I saw it on... Those porn websites.
I saw it, officer.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You should have a look. Really look closely when you're there.
You've seen that in real life?
No, not in real life. I saw it on this porn site.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's, you know, but there's lots and lots of these videos. And it seems to be a bit of a thing.
Just the women taking down their pants and sort of keeping it round their ankles?
No, taking them off.
Okay. I feel self-conscious putting lipstick on a tube, let alone getting
your pants
babies off.
Yeah.
The tube thing's interesting, isn't it, Miranda? Because it's your book's about sex on the tube. We've discovered and established that people can do it on the tube. People are taking their knickers off on the tube. It seems to be a very kind of natural environment for it. Is it the tube train thing? Do you think it's the tube tunnel thing? Train tunnel?
Oh, yeah. Like dark and enclosed warm space?
I guess it's, for me, the idea was because they're so busy and you're so cramped.
So it's like having sex in public, but no one can see.
Exactly.
Eye level is up.
Yeah, exactly. It's that idea of it being hidden underneath the crowds. That was the thing that got my imagination going.
Producer Sam's obsessed with books now.
Fisting.
And then A, fisting. C, what happened to B. Thank you, Paul Lester. D, that books being very popular, the e-books now.
Hmm.
And you can kind of get away with reading or listening to anything, can't you, without someone in front of you, you know, seeing what you're listening to or, you know, knowing what's going on.
Hmm.
Did that help you when you were writing? Did you have that in mind when you were writing?
Not really at all. That thought never occurred to me that, you know, people would be reading on the tube, kind of hiding when they're reading it. But I was very aware of the fact that, you know, when you're on the tube, everyone is looking at their phone or they are reading paper or they are listening to music. And it, you know what it's like when you look at your phone, you kind of zone off and you're not, you know, you could be somewhere else. You're not in that place anymore. So that kind of helps the whole.
Anything could be going on.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if I think about when I look at my phone, sometimes I'm so absorbed in what I'm looking at, I have no idea what's going on.
If there's any budding writers, what about that? If there's any budding authors wanting to write a sexy novel, do you have any tips?
Just write whatever really captures your imagination. Like, you've got to be just so into it and just really excited by it. Otherwise, otherwise you won't be able to put that kind of passion and enthusiasm behind it to make it work.
So when people write and they say the characters kind of took them on the journey, so actually you had the idea of the book, but actually in the end it went a whole different route.
Yeah.
Did that happen with this?
Yeah, totally. It was so weird because often I'd kind of come home at night and I'd be having dinner with my partner and I'd literally start sentences going, "You'll never guess what happened to Polly today."
Oh,
and it's like she was so in my head and she was so alive.
Yeah.
And I'd be so excited and I think, tomorrow Polly's going to, you know, do this and that. And they just, you know, until I wrote this novel, I never really was into that idea. But they take you over slightly. And it's not like you become them. It's just like they're a really good friend and you're really excited about what's going to happen to them. And, you know, they're telling you all this stuff and it's...
You should be worried, though, as well. Where I'm at in the book, I'm worried about Polly.
Yeah.
Where are you at?
Am I allowed to say?
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil it for anyone. I'm at... there's been a funeral.
Oh, okay, right, yeah.
So there's been a funeral.
Oh, you're about to hit her downfall.
Yeah. Oh, no, I thought I was already... I thought I was already there.
No.
Oh, no, I've just gone to the cricket.
No, you've got some good stuff coming.
Yeah.
Before the downfall.
Literally. Yeah.
And not just a hole-in-one. That's not even cricket. That's not even... I'm so sorry.
Unbelievable. You're on a second novel already?
I am, yes. Yes. And that's going to be about polyamory.
Oh,
yeah.
Polly starring in it again.
No, it's a thriller about a kind of three-way relationship. And it's looking at polyamory in and non-monogamous relationships in a very positive way rather than ripping it to shreds, where everyone does.
We've had people talk about polyamory on this very podcast. Anyone would like to go back and subscribe and download that one.
I'm hoping I'm going to turn it on its head a bit and give it a bit more of a positive spin.
Well, has this affected your sex life, being able to write about it?
Yeah, I suppose it has, actually. I think I'm much more open now. I think I was quite closed off and quite prudish at times, but actually I think I'm much more open.
Like if someone wanted to try a new thing, or are you open to talking about it a bit more?
Much more open to talking about it. Mm-hmm. And the great thing is whenever I tell anyone about the novel, people suddenly open up to me and they start telling me all kinds of interesting stories about, you know, if they've had sex in public, or, you know, one person on a train. You know, conversations that I never would have had with people.
So do you think it's actually quite a nice, not therapeutic, but just a nice way, if you're feeling like you want to sexually explore yourself and other people, maybe sitting down and writing about sex might be a nice way to start?
Yeah, definitely. I really think it is. I think it kind of forces you to really think about it. And I think, you know, a lot of people don't. You know, we're surrounded by sex, but, you know, to really think about, you know, as a woman, what you actually really, really want, rather than, you know, what people think you want, I think that's a really important thing. Because, you know, I was thinking about poly, and I was thinking about, you know, what does poly want to get out of this? What does, it just opens your mind up a little bit.
Thanks very much to Kerry McKegney. Check her out on Twitter at K-A-M-C-K. I'm spelling it out. E-A-G-N-E-Y.
So tubing. BB, do you reckon that's going to be dogging for Y2K?
Honestly, I mean, I don't know what Sadiq Khan's going to do about this. Is there a TFL legislation happening about this?
Do we have to pay extra on the Oyster?
I'm happy. I'm happy to. Honestly, it got me all, you know.
Are you tapped in?
Excuse me? Yes. And when I came on the tube today, I did do a little looking around.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. And I saw you filthy. My name is Bebe Lynch.
And I'm Miranda Kane.
Good Sex, Bad Sex was produced by Sam Bonham.
And please check out our articles on metro.co.uk. We're going to be writing about all our guests and more online.
See you next week for Good Sex, Bad Sex.